Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg, that's me, ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. FedEx offers fast delivery, more visibility, simple returns, and weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. population on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. With FedEx, you get picture proof of delivery, ensuring you always know where your package is. Returns are simple with packageless and paperless returns. Plus, FedEx Ground is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. So, what are you waiting for? See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one travel news journalist. And now the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here, and welcome aboard this latest edition of the Ion Travel Podcast. This week, if you've been having trouble dealing with airlines, hotels, cruise lines, or tour operators during COVID-19, welcome to the club, especially when it comes to getting refunds for trips that are clearly not happening. We'll start by talking with the travel editor of the Wall Street Journal, Scott McCartney, about what's going on and what isn't going on and what you can do about it. And then my conversation with Charlie Leoka, the CEO of Travelers United, and their ongoing consumer protection fight for passengers when it comes to unfair airline practices ranging from ticket policies to the safety problems created by just the space between the seats. Which, by the way, was an issue that existed long before the pandemic. Up first, Scott McCartney. He's the travel editor of the Wall Street Journal and also a regular on our show, The Travel Detective on PBS, Scott McCartney. So, Scott, any refunds coming your way?
No refunds coming my way, but I do have a correction for you, Peter. I love the new destination codes, but I think bathroom needs to be loo, L-O-O.
Okay, let me write that down. I'll make that correction.
Yep. A more global feel to it.
but here's the problem with the codes. You can't add in new ones because you're in an enclosed space, right? You only get the bedroom, the living room, the bathroom, and the kitchen, unless you want to add ceiling. right?
Yeah, on my routine, in my passport, I've got Office, OFC.
Okay. And, I can live with that.
And we designated backyard BKY.
Okay, how about RFND? Oh, no, too many letters. Refund.
Taken. Refund, yeah. Good luck. This is a huge issue. It's a huge issue for consumers who have thousands of dollars tied up in trips that they're not going to be able to take. And it's a huge issue for airlines, hotels, tour companies, everybody else, who a lot of whom are going to face bankruptcy. I don't think it's fair that they essentially, in some cases, illegally hold on to consumer money because they're running out of money. They have other ways, in some cases, to raise money that are just not as attractive. It is really tough and hitting the travel business hard.
You know, I remember, at least in the state of California and some other states not too long ago, that if you were going to be a tour operator and be registered with the state, you had to confirm to that state that if Scott McCartney booked a travel trip with me, a tour for next July, that I had to put that money into an escrow account that I could not touch until the actual trip departed. I think people have forgotten the word escrow.
I think that's exactly right. Although a lot of it sort of fell to the credit card companies, and credit card companies were supposed to be doing holdbacks from when you buy that tour, so that the credit card company had the money to refund you if things fell apart.
Yeah, but here's the interesting part of that, because when many of my listeners did, book their trips and their excursions with credit cards, then the actual tour company said, we're only going to give you a voucher or a credit for a future trip. And when they disputed the charge with the credit card company, it was denied because the tour operator said, oh, no, we offered them a voucher.
Yeah.
And that's not the right way to go, especially if the credit card company was doing the holdbacks.
That's right. And, I think there's going to have to be legal action. There's going to have to be, it's different rules in different countries. If you're dealing with a tour operator overseas, we've seen even with airlines, we see any airline that flies to the United States is supposed to comply with United States regulations. But a lot of them haven't. Even Air Canada is saying, no, well, we're going to follow Canadian rules, which give us the right to deny you a refund.
And what's interesting about that, if you go back to the U.S. DOT rule, it involves any airline that flies within the United States to or from the United States, which, as you say, Scott, also includes international carriers. Here's the deal. In some cases, it's contained in the airline's own contract of carriage that you're entitled to a refund if they cancel the flight. And so what I see is going to happen is this. As long as your trip, and this, by the way, is not just airlines, everybody, hotels, it's tour operators. If your trip is, the total amount of your trip is under $7,500, get ready for small claims court. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a parade of cases. And my guess is, and I don't think I'm going to be wrong, that everybody's going to, the plaintiffs are going to, going to win, because there are like hundreds of small claims court judges trying to get their own refunds.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a no-brainer. And what really bothers me is how the rules have changed by the hour. You may go back to this because you wrote the story, Scott, when the pandemic really hit, was declared a pandemic, when airlines started shutting down and routes started getting closed, the airlines didn't change their policies right away. They just didn't want to do it. And then next thing you know, they changed them a little again, then again and again, as the backlash got stronger. Most of it was involving how much they were going to value the voucher they were going to give you, whether they're going to give you a 10% premium in dollar value over what you paid, or up to 25%. And then they started extending the eligibility, saying, oh, you've got 2 years to use the voucher. Well, they might as well give me 9 years to use the voucher, but who knows if the airline's going to be around.
No, that's right. In some cases, true with cruise lines, too. I've talked to people who had $40,000 tied up in a cruise, and, they're older folks, and they're just not going to go. But the vouchers, airline vouchers, this is an opportunity, I think, for airlines to win over a lot of good customer a lot of customer goodwill after generating so much ill feelings about this, but they could take the vouchers and they could say, okay, you know what? You can change the name on a voucher. Anybody could use it. So people could sell their vouchers. They could give it to their children or their grandchildren or whoever might be more willing to travel. They could get some value out of it rather than restrictive.
That's a great idea. It creates an entire secondary market without any liability financially on the airline.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if you could sell your voucher for, you know, 80 cents on the dollar or whatever, the consumer would be happy. The airline doesn't have to shell out any money. Somebody gets to travel at a discount. And, you know, it's I think it works. And I think we've seen airlines relax rules for all kinds of things that the travel waivers of change fees and all. There's really no reason why they couldn't take these particular vouchers issued during the pandemic and say, you know what, with them, we're going to give you, the consumer, more flexibility to actually get value out of that voucher. People would love it. It's an easy way for airlines to win back some customers.
You're absolutely right. In fact, what's really interesting now, and whether it's United, American, Delta, or any of the other airlines, you got to go back and knock on the door again, because initially they wouldn't even volunteer that you were entitled to a refund if they canceled the flight first. And a lot of people unwittingly just said, okay, well, if all I get is a voucher, I guess I'll take it. Well, if you can prove that you didn't cancel the flight first and the airline did and never even volunteered the information of a refund, you have a stronger standing.
I know, but this particular issue drives me crazy. People, you know, in all good conscience said, you know what, the border's closed, I'm not going. The airline hadn't yet canceled the flight, but they called up figuring they were doing the right thing, canceled the flight. The airline said, you're only entitled to a voucher. There is only one airline, Hawaiian, that is actually going back and saying, you know what, we're going to offer those people a possible refund, the option of a refund if they want. And that's the fair thing to do. That's the right thing to do. People got pressured into going ahead and canceling flights when they didn't have the full range of options. And it's really unfortunate. United was at the end of April, United was sending people notices that they had to make their changes by April 30th. Well, they hadn't canceled a whole lot of flights in May, June, July, and beyond yet. And you know what? They extended the deadline on April 29th, but people really got forced into making a decision that cost them a lot of money.
I know, and the rules keep changing. In fact, United Airlines basically canceled 95% of their flights for June, but they waited to the last minute to do it. Rule of thumb for the moment, and you and I are going to talk about this in the next segment, but rule of thumb for the moment is if your flight is showing on the internet as being scheduled and still operating on time, and it's for June or July, right now, I would say there's about a 75% chance it ain't going because the states aren't opening up fast enough. And not only that, airlines aren't going to react fast enough because the average load factors are so low, they're amazed that they're flying in the first place, something that you and I are going to talk about why airlines are still flying so many empty planes. But bottom line is this. If you don't get satisfaction from a tour operator or a travel agent, and by the way, you have to ask the question, as you and I have always asked, Scott, is the travel agent the agent of the airline or your agent? Or it even gets into the area of booking on an online travel agency, because the people who have gone through the OTAs to get a refund have almost always been disappointed. They always side on the airline because they all want to hold on to the revenue. It's really crazy. Scott, you had a great story just in Thursday's Wall Street Journal on, you know, why empty planes keep flying. And of course, the name of your column, which is so perfect for this, is The Middle Seat, because we've seen other airlines like Delta saying that they're not going to book middle seats during the pandemic and that, you know, they're going to guarantee that through the end of June. And it's easy for them to say if you're only seven people on the plane. The real question then becomes, what happens after this? You know, will you think there'll be you know, any kind of regulation because of social distancing, because even social distancing by getting rid of the middle seat doesn't give you 6 feet, doesn't right. even give you 2 feet. So what do you think's going to happen?
I think it's a fascinating question. And I did start to worry that I was going to have to change the name of the column. But now I'm pretty sure I don't. I think the middle seat is staying both in the Wall Street Journal and in airplanes. You know, the reality is the airline industry can't make money unless they fill those middle seats. And I think for there to be regulation saying they can't fly middle seats, the airline industry is very adaptive. A lot of them don't have, certainly not many wide body planes left with middle seats, but you can arrange the seatings to eliminate the middle seat. But the problem is it doesn't give you social distancing, as you alluded to. Are you also going to say that you can't have two people sitting side by side in an aisle, across an aisle, because they're pretty close. They're 18 inches apart. They're not 6 feet apart. What are you going to do about the person behind you who sneezes or coughs? There's not a way in a 12-foot wide tube to space people apart sufficiently to provide protection. So if you're not providing protection, what are you doing? You're really just giving people sort of emotional comfort. I think it's unsettling to people when there's somebody shoulder to shoulder or stranger next to you in that middle seat. To me, the reality of this is airlines are going to want to fill them and people aren't going to want to fly because of it. So I think it's one of the big reasons why the industry is going to be much smaller than it was, because people just aren't going to want to get on airplanes.
Are you surprised about the Frontier announcement and then the retraction? You know, about the $39 to block the seat next to you. You know, we had Congressman Steve Cohen on the show last week talking about masks and also just seat crunchiness. And for that announcement by Frontier, certainly got his attention.
Yeah, you know, ironically, it's actually something that I've advocated for years. The ability, look, an empty middle seat is statistically a huge driver of comfort. Surveys have shown in the past, if the middle seat is empty, the plane's more on time. The flight attendants are friendly, or the food, you know, back in the days when there was food, tasted better. If there's nobody crunching you next to you, it's a much better experience. So why not offer people the chance to pay for that comfort? I would rather pay for an empty middle seat than I would pay for extra legroom. I think that concept, that makes more sense. The problem with the Frontier thing was they were forcing it on a pandemic. You'd have to pay $39 for, you know, for your life, for your health. And profiting from the pandemic is not a good thing. So I'm not surprised they backed down from that. But, you know, frankly, I would love to see it come back someday as an option that, you know, a lot of travelers would like to take advantage of.
Speaking of the middle seat being empty, how about the entire plane being empty? You know, we have a situation now where, you know, the load factors are ridiculous. It's, on some days, they've been single digits. The average last week on one airline was, I think, 17 people per flight. Unsustainable in normal times. But the airlines continue to fly the planes, partly because it was part of their deal when they took the federal bailout money.
Well, that's part of it. There are a whole host of reasons why they're flying empty airplanes. Sometimes the airplane needs to get somewhere. The next flight may have, a much better passenger load on it. The airplane may need to get to a particular maintenance base for overnight work. May need to even, this one surprised me, they're moving around airplanes for parking spaces. So there's so many airplanes.
Explain that again.
So many airplanes are now grounded and parked at airports that overnight parking spaces are at a real premium. So JetBlue, for example, they have some parking spaces in Boston. They got to get airplanes to Boston that night, or they're not going to have a place to park. And I sure never thought of Boston as a place where you go to find parking, because many times I've been unable to find parking in Boston.
The idea that we would see a day in which there are more planes on the ground than in the air is crazy. I mean, the pictures that I've seen and that you've seen of now unused runways with airplanes parked wing to wing, nose to nose, tail to tail are astounding.
Yeah. And sometimes empty flights are going because the crew needs to get somewhere. Sometimes actually actually because of the people on board. I know JetBlue flew some flights where they found out that the six people on board were all healthcare workers going to New York. And they said, you know, we're going to fly those trips to get those people there.
I get it. But here's the irony of this. You know, the airlines are keeping their employees through September 30th. A lot of redundancies right now since they're flying essentially empty planes. But when travel starts to, you know, kind of trickle back by September, that's when that government bailout money basically dries up. And the airlines are already telegraphing to their employees in many cases, be prepared for layoffs.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be really hard to tell what demand is. We're already seeing situations where people are complaining that 85% load factor on a flight or, you know, all the middle seats are filled.
The good old days.
Yeah, the good old days, but it's scary now. This is going to be a real problem going forward when they try and figure out how many people to keep, how many airplanes to keep and bring back, and not knowing what kind of travel demand there's going to be.
My thanks again to Scott McCartney of the Wall Street Journal. And you can see more of Scott on my public television show, The Travel Detective. And as they say, check your local listings. Up next, I'll talk with Charlie Leoka about one of his favorite subjects, and mine too, passenger rights. You know, when you think about, you know, the latest bailout to the airlines, over $58 billion, a lot of it came with some strings attached about stock buybacks and where the money was going to be spent. But one of the original hopes during that bailout was that it might contain some passenger protection provisions, some consumer protections, something that my next guest has been arguing about for years. And so it opens up the door for at least us to have a conversation about it today. He's the president of Travelers United, Charlie Leoka. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Let's go back to that original legislation, because when it came out, you know, there were so many things we wanted to see in there. It was sort of like this pent up demand for, okay, you want the money now, here's what you're going to have to do to get it. It didn't quite work out that way, did it?
No, it really didn't. The initial discussions were that, you know, if they got the money, they couldn't use it to buy back stock. They couldn't use it to give their executives any kind of bonuses and so on. And all of that got into the bill. But I was looking also to try to get a, you know, something directly for the consumers. We wanted to have a system set up so that if you were sick, you weren't required to fly. You didn't have to pay a penalty in order to not get on the plane.
You know, let's talk about that, Charlie, because I go back with you a long time, and you've been arguing about this for a long time. And believe it or not, it also has an application for cruise passengers. Because if you take a look, I'll back into this, if you will.
Okay.
When you take a look at up until recently in the pandemic, the cruise line refund policies were nothing short of draconian within 60 days of departure. And we all remember the days of the norovirus, which is basically a gastrointestinal problem that, you know, forces a lot of passengers to have extended conversations with the porcelain telephone. But when that happened, I had to go back and see, well, what could have driven that? What, you know, why would that happen? And you look at those refund policies that if you want to refund your trip or at least, you know, postpone it because you're not feeling well, the cruise lines basically say you're out of luck and you lose your entire payment that you made for the cruise. So the sort of the anecdotal argument that you could make, I don't know if you could prove it scientifically, although I would sort of bet my career on it, is that there are a lot of passengers who were then saying, well, I paid all this money, and even though I think I have the flu or I'm not feeling well, I'm not going to forfeit these dollars. I'm going to show up anyway. And so they're already boarding the ships already sick. So that was the cruise ship model that I was looking at prior to the pandemic, which the cruise ships obviously are now been forced to change their refund policies and rebooking policies. But the airlines are in the same position that the cruise ships were before the pandemic. So now I'm going to let you tell that story. But I mean, I wanted to let you know that I know you've been working on this for a while.
Right. And what happened is about 2 years ago, I got the opportunity to go through exactly this problem. When I was over in Spain on my normal adventure of running the bulls, I ended up contracting pneumonia. I went to the doctors. They put me on antibiotics, and they said, you just have to sleep. And so I took the train down to Madrid. I went to get on my airplane, and I was flying out on a U.S. airline. And I said to them, I said, look, I really shouldn't get on the plane because I've got pneumonia. I know I'm infectious and I should just stay here. And they said, okay, no problem. If you want to stay here, you can do it, but it's going to be a $300 change fee and you've got to pay the difference in airfare. And so the whole thing came to almost $2,000. And I went, whoa. I said, just because I want to stay here, you know, can't you just put me on a flight, you know, 4 or 5 days from now after my antibiotics have kicked in and so on? Oh, no, we can't do that. Do you have any insurance? No, I don't have insurance for that. And so I just said, fine, I'm just going to go. And I got on the plane. I just sort of kept to myself and slept most of the way across the Atlantic. And then when I got home, I was just bedridden for almost a week. But that was a situation where they basically forced me, unless I wanted to spend $2,000 to stay in Madrid, plus my food, plus the apartment and everything else, which I would be willing to pick up. But in terms of the airfare, they just really kind of twisted my arm and said, get on the plane.
Right. I doubt they would do that now.
The problem right now is that the same law, the same contract of carriage, which said that I had to pay them the change fee and the difference in the airfare, is still in effect. So what they've done right now is they've changed the law, but it's all temporary. It's only until, you know, they keep putting out until the end of a certain month and then the end of the next month. Now they take us to the end of the year. And so if we wanted to do the same thing, if you walked up and you said, I've got coronavirus, and you walked in the middle of next year, they'd probably say, oh, sorry, going by the book, you can't get out of this whole thing.
Well, you and know, so it's funny, Charlie, because we all know, and I understand the sentiment, and in fact, I respect the sentiment of all the major travel providers, not to mention the Fortune 500 companies, who've taken out all those television ads saying, we understand, we're with you, we're all in this together. I saw a very funny posting on the web the other day from an airline passenger said, you say we're all in this together. Where were you when you told me my bag weighed 51.5 pounds?
Yeah.
wanted to charge me $300 for that, you know.
It's true. I mean, and I've got lots of where were you stories. You know, it used to make me pay $75 to get on or $50, I forget, to get on an earlier flight. My flight in from Europe came in early, and my niece and I were waiting at JFK. We just wanted to fly up to Boston. And they said, sorry, that'll be $50 a piece if you want to get on an earlier flight. And I said, well, I don't want to pay $50. You know, that's another $100. So we just sat there. We had to sit through two shuttles going up there. Finally, they put us on the one plane that we had our reservation on. And they said, you know, you have to fly on that plane. We won't move you. And it made no difference to them whatsoever, because the other planes were empty and my plane was empty.
I know. Well, we're living in a world up until the pandemic where the airlines embraced the philosophy, because they wanted to generate revenue from everything short of breathing. And the philosophy was no waivers, no favors. And they weren't, you know, there used to be something, you're old enough to remember this, Charlie. There used to be something called the flat tire rule. You remember the flat tire rule? For those of you who don't, I'll tell you what it is. The flat tire rule is, let's say I was booked on a 10 o'clock flight from Chicago to Los Angeles, and I'm driving out to O'Hare, and I get a flat tire, and I got to get out, pull off on the side of the road, get the jack out, put the spare on. Well, I missed the flight. I show up at the airport at 10:20, and in the old days, they'd say, no problem, we'll put you on the noon flight, and that would be that. Not anymore. They got rid of that, and it's still up to the discretion of the counter agents, but more often than not, they're being told by their upper management, no waivers, no favors, and you get stuck with that change fee and the difference in airfare.
That's right. But, you know, I will say this much for the airlines. If you show up within an hour or so and you just miss the flight, they will normally try to put you on the next flight. But the problem these days is that the flights, until the coronavirus, were all flying at 80 and 90% capacity.
Yep.
They were packed. And so most of the flights just wasn't anywhere to sit. And if you wanted to be upgraded or you were flying on space available, you were just absolutely out of luck.
Yep.
And so that's what ended up happening. And it's continued because they're still, you know, that's the way they look at it. So there's also no waivers and no favors. But if they can, sometimes some airlines will do the right thing. And so they'll just move you right over.
All right. So here's the stupid question of the day. We've now just gone through and still going through a terrible point in our history with travel. financially, it's just unbelievable the amount of losses. The airlines are hemorrhaging money at the rate of sometimes $100 million, you know, a day. This is crazy. Lufthansa was hemorrhaging, and just their operation alone was losing a million euros an hour. So I get that. But when we come out of this, and by the way, I think we're all, you know, I think we're all reasonable people, that nobody wants to deny the airlines a reasonable profit. But in a situation where we've just come out of this, what do you think the prospects are finally, maybe on a bipartisan level, to get some legislation in Congress that you've been lobbying for that really does protect consumers in some of these key areas?
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to find out. I've just learned, I hate to sound jaded after being in Washington now for about 12 years working on these issues, but I've really learned that we're in a situation where, I hate to say it, money talks. And the airlines have a lot more money. They've got a lot more big people that are working on things. And so the consumers really are, you know, we're sort of hat in hand, really working to get this thing done.
Can you really get Congress to agree on something? Because the one thing that travel does, it crosses over politics, it crosses over, you know, demographics. We really are all in this together. And when it comes into engendering ill will among passengers, the airlines have no favorites. So when we can actually turn things around that doesn't necessarily negatively impact their profit, but does improve and make safer our experience, what are you looking at?
Well, I mean, right now what we're trying to change the sick passenger rules. That's number one. Number two, where we've got other rules such as the full refund rule. If the airlines cancel a flight, they are required to pay you, to refund you all the money you've spent for that flight.
Right. And that rule, by the way, Charlie, is on the books already at the U.S. Department of Transportation. And as I said many times on this show before, it's even carried on the contract of carriage of a number of carriers, including Delta.
That's right. And then what ends up happening is they end up trying to find a way to get around it. And right now we've got one of the major airlines, United, is basically saying, okay, guys, you know, they announced that they're going to cut all their flights by 90%. And then they come out and they say, okay, you have to make your decision by the end of May and about whether or not you're going to cancel a flight or not. And you know that their flight's going to probably be canceled. And so they're really playing a game of chicken with their passengers.
Who's going to blink first? Exactly. And here's the problem. You bring it up, Charlie. If you have to make a decision by May about your September flight and you cancel, then you're stuck on the old game of the fees and the rebooking fees or that voucher. It has to be them canceling.
Exactly. And they know that. And so at first they sort of said, okay, no problem, you can cancel your flights. And then we had two airlines, United and JetBlue, those two airlines, for the most part would say, sorry, you're only going to get a credit. And if you don't fly by the end of the year, then we may give you your money back. So in other words, they're getting a free loan of your money that you can spend, or you should be able to spend, because they're not providing any service to you, and they're keeping it for almost half a year or 9 months, and then they might give it back to you. So it was just, it's just not very good right now, and we now have airlines sort of playing chicken with you. Once again, that's mainly United, which is doing that, and so we've got a real problem. And in Europe, even though the European airlines fall under the U.S. rules and regulations, they also have their own European Union rules. And so the European Union rules are now up in the air because they're petitioning the government to allow them to not have to pay back people, but just provide credits. And then we'll have a problem which gets bigger than only the DOT. Now the State Department's going to have to get involved in it. And this can go forever. And we'll be to the end of the year before anything happens.
Although I will say this, under the U.S. Department of Transportation rules that exist now, it applies to any airline operating to or from the United States or within the United States. So even though Air Canada can get a court to rule that they don't have to give a refund for folks flying within Canada, that doesn't apply in the United States. If you're on an Air Canada flight from New York to Toronto and they only want to give you a voucher, no, the U.S. Department of Transportation rule means they have to give you the refund.
That's right. They have to give you the refund. But we're just running – what my only point is that we're running into lots of situations now where the airlines are coming up with any kind of excuse not to provide the refund. And the other thing that ends up happening – the big thing about this refund issue has been that the DOT also said that if you got a person to actually only take a credit, you now have to go back to that person and tell them that they could have gotten a full refund. And then give that person a choice.
Exactly.
And that I have not yet seen the letters that the airlines are sending out.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either. They haven't exactly jumped at that. Yeah, they haven't jumped to attention on that one yet. And we're going to follow up with them on that because what the DOT said in that same letter is that if you don't, we're going to take enforcement action.
Right, and we're going to charge you more for the enforcement action.
Exactly.
And so now it's going to be a big question.
One more thing, Charlie, before we lose you here, and that is, you know, we all know that between now and the end of June, Delta Airlines is basically saying to you, no matter what airline, what flight you take with us, you're never going to put you in the center seat. Other airlines have said the same. And at the same time, isn't it interesting about how we're going to come out of this, whether or not anybody will ever want the center seat? Frontier Airlines today is basically saying that if you want to make sure the center seat is available next to you, you can block it for $29. They're looking for revenue anywhere they can get it. But the other interesting thing is this. While we're talking, while we're on the air right now, American Airlines, talk about not reading the room. American Airlines is sending a lot of their A321 jets to maintenance in Tulsa for one reason and one reason only, to install more seats on the plane. Are you kidding me?
It's absolutely crazy. They all know that they're not going to be back to normal, and they're still putting in more seats forever. I just find it really amazing.
When they do that, I'm waiting for the FAA to finally get their act together and have evacuation tests the way they're supposed to be done, with a fully loaded plane, with a great cross-section of age, infirmity, carry-on bags, pets, and half the exits blocked in the dark. They're supposed to be able to evacuate the plane in 90 seconds or less. And they always seem to pass the test, because my guess is that they hire the cast from Cirque du Soleil. But right now, if you're going to put even more seats on those planes, somebody has to hold them to the fire and say, literally, evacuate this plane in less than 90 seconds. And I bet they can't. And that's what I want to see happen. Probably Leoka from Travelers United.
Thanks, Charlie. And you can get more information on all the things they're doing by logging on to travelersunited.org. And thank you, as always, for listening to the Eye on Travel podcast. For more interviews with the world's leading travel industry professionals, as well as answers to your travel questions, make sure to subscribe, rate, or review the Eye on Travel podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also go to petergreenberg.com for the latest in travel news. And I'll see you next time on another edition of the Eye on Travel podcast. Hey, Prime members, Peter Greenberg here. You can listen to Eye on Travel ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, and you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com.
When you're committed to raising the standard, you're bound to ruffle some feathers. At Happy Egg, we like to say we farm differently. But in reality, we produce eggs the way people used to, by partnering with local small family farmers who raise our happy hens on 8 or more acres. Because in our opinion, farming shouldn't be complicated. It should be happy. Choose happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com and look for the yellow carton at a store near you.
Happy
Egg.
Are you ready for an all-new season of Survivor? You better be, because Survivor 46 is here, and it's 90 minutes of twists and turns you don't want to miss. Better yet, after each episode, there's a brand new episode of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. Each week, we go behind the scenes of the episode's biggest moments, taking you into the how and the why things happened. And this season, we're very lucky to be joined by an expert, the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares.
What is up? I'm thrilled to be joining this team and to be giving you my take on how and the why players made the moves they did, what it takes to outwit, outplay, and outlast, and to ask Jeff some questions, because even after 26 days out there, there is still a lot for me to uncover.
Bring it, D. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.